You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 589.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hi. How are you, Kevin?
I'm good. Welcome back.
Thank you. I feel so refreshed.
Cornflake was vacationing last week. The mayor filled in.
Thank you, Mayor.
Filled in admirably. Did you listen to last week's show?
No, I did not.
I know you've never heard this show. And you know what? Can't say I blame you. But here we are, Cornflakes back. We're wrapping up the 80s this week. It's been a summer of all 80s every week around here. Episode 589, of course, is all about 1989, plus a little bit of 1988. We'll get to that in a minute. You're well rested. You were out in, what'd you do? You were vacationing? Were you out in nature?
Yes. I went all the way out to Western Massachusetts to see a skink.
Did you see a skink out there? Nice.
I did see a skink. I did not know Western Massachusetts was known for skinks, but I found one.
Western Massachusetts, lousy with skinks. Absolutely.
I was not disappointed.
Big, weird lizards just creeping around. I was out in nature as well, right after you.
Really?
You got back last week, but too late to be on the show. And then as soon as you got back, I took off. I was up in Vermont, also in the middle of nature. I just got back yesterday as we record.
Oh, welcome back.
I was creeping around Vermont. I didn't see any skinks.
You were deprived.
I saw a frog.
Frogs are good.
I saw a hippopotamus. I might have just been watching the Newser review now that I think of it. I did see an actual frog, though. And a heron. You know herons?
Yes.
Big, giant, freaky birds. Yeah, I saw a heron a couple of times. It might have been the same heron. It might have been following me.
You know what I didn't see, Kevin?
Yeah?
A bear.
Okay.
I got out to the place where I was vacationing, and nobody told me until I got there that recently there had been a family of bears around, frequently photographed bears. And yeah. I'm just really proud that I came back and was not eaten by bears.
Did they have those big afros like the Hair Bear Bunch?
Afro bears. No.
I would assume they did. But here we are. We're back, and we're back in the 80s, but before our 80s talk, how about National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
You gotta get permission to stay up for this one, Kevin, because it's not a day, it's a night. International Bat Night. Not as in a baseball bat, we're talking about nighttime flying bats.
Okay.
August 26th.
Now, are you going to go out and look at bats?
You know, I might. I don't just do that on August 26th. I see a fair amount of bats if I'm out for a walk
really?
In the evening. But I thought it might be fun to talk about our favorite pop culture bats.
You see bats all the time?
I do.
You're like Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom. I go outside all the time, day, night. I never see a bat.
Oh, well, my area is lousy with bats, and I'm so glad because they eat the bugs. So I'm happy to have them around.
I mean, I imagine they're around, but I don't see them.
Really?
Never seen. I think last time I saw a bat, I was in Belize. I saw bats in Belize.
Oh, well, that is cool.
It's a long way to go to see a bat if they're just crawling all over you all the time.
They are. I must attract them.
So pop culture bats, you wanted to...
Yeah, I mean, Batman's an obvious one, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. There is a Batman, isn't there? What else is there? There's Bat-Bat, the bat that dresses like a bat.
There's Bat-Mite.
Sure. Is that all of them?
I remember from the movie Fern Gully from the 90s, there's Batty-Coda.
I don't know what that is.
Batty-Coda was voiced by Robin Williams.
Okay, never heard of that.
And I remember a puppet bat from Nickelodeon. An old Nickelodeon TV show called Eureka's Castle. There was a clumsy bat named Batley.
Well, you know a lot more bats than I do, but both in the world of pop culture and in real life.
I know a lot of bats.
One of us will clearly be celebrating Bat Night. That'd be you. We're jumping back to the 80s for our final week. It's been 10 long weeks now, but you missed last week.
I did. It felt really weird.
And yeah, we didn't want to leave the listeners hanging.
No, nobody else wanted to sit around and watch commercials from 1988 to pick one, huh?
You've been watching commercials and sharing old TV commercials with us from each year of the 80s. Now, you weren't here last week, so we missed 1988, but now we got some catching up to do because you've gone back. We're not going to cheat the listeners out of a cornflake commercial pick. So you've got one for 88 and then for 89. So 88, you sent me the commercial. I just saw it before we started the show. I don't remember this one, but I loved it.
I remember this one, but the short version.
This did seem to go on and on, didn't it? This was some kind
Exactly. This is almost like a short play. It is a high-tech gum commercial.
This was the 12-inch DJ extended dance mix version of a Wrigley's gum commercial.
It's a guy who wants to pop a piece of gum, but suddenly his computer starts talking to him about the gum.
This was like a little bit of like War Games style, the computer speaking to the kid, but the computer is just strangely fascinated by gum.
Yes, to the point where the disk drive is supposed to go, suddenly it sucks in a piece of gum. And then it gets kind of like a little bit like Max Headroom-like, like there's a face on the screen and there's a surfer.
Yeah, the computer comes to life through the magic of gum. We're teaching computers about gum.
And the computer is obsessed.
Do you think this led to any actual children like shoving sticks of gum into a disk drive?
I sure hope so.
How could it not have? You know, millions of people must have seen this. I would have tried it if I'd seen this commercial.
My favorite part of this one is how he types in, well, let's cross-reference satisfaction. That on a computer these days would get you completely different results.
Well, I mean, you got to admire what a wholesome young man this is. he's all he cares about is chewing gum. When you look at what Anthony Michael Hall and what's-his-name were doing with their computer when they got it to spit out actual living Kelly LeBrock.
It's true.
Yeah, this was outstanding. I imagine our friend Chris from Sci-Fi Explosion, I'm guessing he is well aware of this commercial. He's probably shown it in his shows, but if not, we should pass this along to him.
It's a gem.
Yeah. All right. Good pick. That was 1988. I don't think I remember that one, but moving on to 89, I don't think I remember this one specifically, but I remember this series of commercials because you sent me one of the Jay Leno Doritos commercials.
Yeah, I don't remember this specific commercial, but I do remember Crunch All You Want, We'll Make More.
He did a bunch. He was selling Doritos for a few years, I believe.
All different kinds. He was doing it for the Cool Ranch. He was doing it for, they had salsa-flavored Doritos for a while, I remember, very briefly.
I remember first learning about Cool Ranch Doritos from a Jay Leno commercial, and I think that was the first alternate Doritos flavor I ever heard of. I grew up in a world where there was one kind of Dorito.
It's true.
And now every time I go to the store, there's 11 more new kinds of Doritos.
Yeah, like marshmallow Doritos.
Even without Jay Leno, they've just gone out of control. There's thousands of Doritos out there.
Pickle Doritos, Wrigley Spearmint Doritos.
Oh, that kid is probably shoving different kinds of Doritos into his computer every night. But Leno, this was Leno on the rise, the late 80s. I was a fan of Jay Leno all through the 80s from his appearances on Late Night with David Letterman. And he was, I believe, doing some guest hosting of The Tonight Show by this point. And then, yeah, started selling Doritos as well. He didn't just make commercials for Doritos in this era. I know he was also making commercials for the Boston Globe newspaper.
Yeah.
Because he made one with my father.
That's right.
I watched Jay Leno shoot a Boston Globe commercial on the streets of Boston, interviewing my father. And I think I was the only one in Boston who knew who Jay Leno was.
It was tough to pick which Jay Leno Doritos commercial from 1989 I should have sent you.
Why in the world did you pick this one?
Because he's talking about people, kids specifically, writing into him and asking, what do you do when the Doritos run out? And it was just so absurd to me.
This is just Leno telling children to leave notes for your mother saying that you need more Doritos.
Yes.
What a weird little commercial.
I loved weird commercials back then.
This was a good one. Well, you did it, Cornflake. You took us all the way through the 80s, one commercial at a time. So we watched 10 commercials together, approximately, over the last 10 weeks. How many commercials do you think you watched to pare it down to those 10?
Hundreds.
For you, it has really been the whole summer.
Yeah, because the reels of commercials I was finding, they weren't all funny. Like, there were a lot of serious commercials about aspirin and...
Yeah, think of the hours and hours of YouTube 80s commercials.
Dog food.
Like, have you seen your family since June?
No, but nobody seems worried about that.
Nobody noticed? Okay. I guess it's okay then.
I was not missed. I think it's because people know that I do goofy things like this in the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, she's probably watching High Feather or something.
Cornflake's busy with the 80s. Yep. It's very important. Well, you did it. And yeah, all right, this is 1989. I was trying to find something a little different for 89 because we've covered the music of 89, the TV, the movies, the kind of typical pop culture stuff of every year of the 80s in various forms. And we will again someday, I'm sure. But I wanted to go another way. And you know, here we are, it's mid-August, and all I'm doing for the next couple of weeks is getting ready for Dragon Con.
That's right. There's a feeling in the air as August draws to a close. It's that Dragon Con feeling.
It's a feeling of me in a panic because I'm running out of time and I have way too much to do.
I'm sure there are lots of spreadsheets and slideshows involved.
There are indeed some spreadsheets and some slideshows, yes. That's my world for the next couple of weeks. But since Dragon Con was on my mind, then I thought, what was happening at Dragon Con in 1989? Because there was a Dragon Con in 1989. I wasn't there.
No?
Dragon Con started in... I guess we better back up. I assume everybody knows because it's this time of year, it's all I talk about. Dragon Con is a giant science fiction, fantasy, general nerd convention in Atlanta, Georgia, Labor Day weekend every year. I will be there doing all sorts of silly things. We're going to talk more about what I'm doing this year very soon. But Dragon Con started in 1987. So we're going to be looking at the third ever Dragon Con.
So still a pretty young con back then.
Yeah, yeah. And it was for a regional convention like this, it was already getting pretty big, relatively speaking. It's 1989, and Dragon Con was not Labor Day weekend, because it wasn't always Labor Day weekend. Its first several years, it bounced around the calendar throughout, I think, the summer and fall. The first year I went to Dragon Con was 1996, so I was at the 10th one, I guess, if I'm doing that math. And when I went back in 96, it was in June. This one, Dragon Con 1989, was October 6th through the 8th.
Whoa. So maybe Atlanta was tolerable.
The weather was getting a little better, perhaps?
Yeah, probably.
Because these days, it's just, you know, locked in. It's automatic Labor Day every year, of course. Totally different location in 89 also, because it also bounced around locations back in the early days before settling in fully where it is now. These days, it is hosted at 5 different hotels in a little kind of cluster of downtown Atlanta, plus a couple of other buildings. Back then, 89, it was at the Omni Hotel at the CNN Center.
That sounds very fancy.
You know, CNN is down there in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go there. That's like a tourist thing. You can go take a tour of CNN if you want. But why would you want to do that?
No, yeah, that's what I was just thinking. Why would you?
The only thing that I would be remotely interested in at the CNN Center, what's interesting about CNN is that that is the former home of the world of Sid and Marty Krofft.
Oh.
When they built the Krofft theme park back in the 70s, that's where it was. That's CNN today.
That's fascinating.
And there's essentially no trace of the theme park left anymore.
It would be so funny if there was, though.
Yeah, like you're watching CNN and HR Puff and stuff wanders by in the background because he's still...
CNN needs more of that.
...wandering around his park. Yeah, everybody on CNN should be living hats from Lidsville.
I don't know what our friend Joe Crow would say about that.
The only thing that's still there is they built a giant escalator to ride up to the world of Sid and Marty Krofft, and that escalator is still there.
Oh.
So you can ride the same escalator that was built for the theme park, but now when you get to the end of it, you're at CNN and you've, you know, regretted your decision.
Yeah, it's a bit of an anticlimax. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking for the bugaloos. Just some guy whining about what's going on in the world. Who cares? But anyway, this year, 1989, it was the Omni Hotel at CNN Center was your home for DragonCon. And here's a fun statistic. Official attendance at DragonCon 2019, I believe, was their largest recorded attendance. Official attendance in 2019 was 85,000. And it's been a little lower than that since then. They've been slowly rebuilding, you know, the last few years. In 1989, by a couple of sources that I found today, the attendance was 2,400.
That's still pretty healthy.
Still pretty good.
Yeah.
But I mean, these days, like last year, I hosted a panel in a room that held more than 2,400 people.
Yeah, well, I mean, perspective.
I'm not saying 2,400 people came to see my panel, but theoretically they could have. Because
you could have let the people presume that, Kevin.
We did have that many seats in the room when I interviewed Melody Anderson from Manimal and Flash Gordon. Yes, but 2,400 people, 2,400 nerds went to DragonCon in 1989. And I actually found some images of like a flyer. It was kind of simple looking logo. It says DragonCon 1989, big dragon head on it. And it lists some of the guests. Guests of honor that year. It was not exactly the star-studded affair that it would turn into.
I was trying to guess who it might be.
Well, yeah, you don't have celebrities, TV and movie stars the way you get now. But they did have some solid guests, though. There are names on this list that are pretty well known. Beginning with Anne McCaffrey was one of the guests of honor. Anne McCaffrey, science fiction fantasy author. She was the writer of the Dragon Riders of Pern books. That was her big thing. And hugely popular. I never read those books, but most of your science fiction fantasy people, they know the Dragon Riders of Pern books. And Anne McCaffrey, I know, continued coming to DragonCon every year. I mean, for a while, there was an Anne McCaffrey track at DragonCon.
That's really neat.
Yeah, she had her own track. And yeah, I think I met her son there a few years ago. He might still come. I'm not sure. So Anne McCaffrey was one of the big guests for 1989. But here's a huge name, though. Wes Craven was there. Director Wes Craven. Best known for Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right.
He directed the first one. First time the world met Freddy Krueger. That was Wes Craven directing. He did some of the sequels as well. And then later on in the 90s, after this convention, he did Scream, the Scream movies.
Yeah, I think that's probably where I know the name Wes Craven from.
He did a bunch more as well, of course. Swamp Thing for DC Comics nerds like me. He did the Swamp Thing movie and lots more. But Wes Craven was there. The other guests of honor were Michael Whalen, who is a fantasy science fiction illustrator. Most of the guests on this list are illustrators or writers. That's really what they were booking. So kind of similar to like if you go to Aresia in Boston these days.
Yeah, that's what it was sounding like as you were describing it. It's like, huh, it sounds like it was almost like an Aresia back in the day.
Yeah, because even today there are conventions, smaller shows like this, and most of the guests are science fiction, fantasy writers, authors, people from the world of gaming. Michael Whalen was an illustrator. Was he related to Jill Whalen, Vicky, the captain's daughter from Love Boat? I'm going to assume yes, he was.
Yes.
Nobody look that up. Let me have my little dream.
I have no credibility and I 100% endorse that.
Yeah, so it's a bunch of names like that. Some of these names are vaguely familiar to me. Many of them are not. But the other name that really popped out at me, though, was Gary Gygax was there.
Oh, yeah, from Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, that's the guy that created D&D back in the 70s. But he was certainly a regular on the convention scene.
His fans loved him.
Yeah, Gary Gygax. So that's cool. And there's a bunch of little names after that, and I don't really recognize very many of those names, one or two. But
the computer from the Wrigley's Gum commercial.
You know, they did have some, actually, if I flip to my next image I have here, I've got, this might have been the other side of that page that I was looking at before. They list a bunch of the various features and events of the convention. So it talks about programming, over 120 hours of panels and seminars and such, gaming, there's the costume contest, the dealer's room, art show, a banquet. Oh, the banquet is a Saturday morning breakfast buffet. I'm not going to that. An auction. But then as part of this list, though, after the banquet and the auction, then it says computers. Because I guess it was just exciting to, you know, look at computers. Our computer center presents the latest and best action and adventure games on a variety of quality computer systems.
That sounds like a good time in the late 80s.
Sure. Go play some computer games. The con suite, they had a con suite back then, as they still do today.
It's where the good food hides.
Go get some free food. I know where the con suite is. Most people don't. It's surprisingly well hidden. The location of the con suite, kind of a big secret. I'll show you where it is. You can ask me, my friends.
That's right. Kevin's get the hookup.
And what else do I have here? There's like an order form. I found a scan of this order form. So you can like mail it in. You can fill out this form.
That's right, because the internet really wasn't a thing back then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was no online registration for Dragon Con 1989.
Which is why I'm impressed they had the numbers that they did.
They were excited just to have computers on the premises, evidently.
Registration on mimeograph.
Here it is. The 3-day membership for Dragon Con 89, $30.
Wow.
That's not bad.
They need to bring that back.
That's $30 through September 15th.
Ah.
Then the price increases after that.
To approximately $1,000.
Yeah, that's the advance price, $30. But on the same order form, to give him your money to register, on that same form, you can just check a box if you want a hotel room.
Can you even imagine having it be that simple?
It's a little trickier than that, getting a hotel room for Dragon Con these days. But I'm literally looking at boxes to check on your form for what kind of hotel room you want. And the price for a hotel room starts at $65 a night.
Wow.
And that's not like to stay 6 miles away. That's for, you know, the CNN center where it's being held, the Omni Hotel.
Man, I don't think you can even get half a hotel room in the sticks nowadays for $65.
Pretty good. Let's see. Oh, it mentions MARTA, you know, the subway system in Atlanta called MARTA, named after Marta Kristen from Lost in Space. Everybody knows that. It actually mentions valet parking is available, or outdoor parking for 3,000 cars, or take the MARTA rapid rail system to the Omni station from anywhere in town, even the airport.
Spectacular.
Yeah, they're really pushing the MARTA thing there. You can ride it in from anywhere. This sounds pretty good. What do you think? Should we go?
Heck yeah.
I feel like I'm so late to Dragon Con now because I didn't show up until 96.
You're earlier than me.
Oh, this is interesting, actually. One of these scans that I have of this Dragon Con information form, there's some handwriting on it. Somebody wrote on this, and it looks like they were writing down the movie schedule.
Ooh.
Like, we can actually see what they were showing, the movies and videos they were showing at Dragon Con that year.
You see anything good?
I've got times and titles. Handwritten. This says 10:35, Dune. Looks like the day started with Dune, which I've never seen. Then it looks like a bunch of Star Trek movies.
Of course.
It says ST2, ST3, ST4. Do you think they mean Star Trek's 2, 3, and 4?
They've gotta.
I think that's Trek.
What else could it stand for? Stan Tupperware.
Then it says Raiders. I assume that's as in Of the Lost Ark.
Gotta be.
Star Trek Next... It says STNG, so I believe that's Star Trek Next Generation Bloopers.
Ooh, I would have been there.
I'd watch that. Oh, you would. I know you would show up for some next-gen bloopers. You got to take your Brent break.
Let's get cornflake written all over it.
Get away from the convention and watch Brent Spiner mess up his lines for some Star Trek bloopers for your Brent break. Then there's something after that I can't quite read. It says STNG, and then there's little tiny writing that I can't make out. So I don't know what happened after that. Something else Next Generation happened after the bloopers, followed by RoboCop, then
of course
Alien, the original, and then Aliens, plural, the sequel.
Man, it was so simple back then to just like play the hits.
That's your video lineup according to whoever scribbled all over this page that I'm looking at a scan of now.
It's totally perfect.
Yeah. All right. We're going. I've decided. I'm going to fill out this form. Do you think they'll still honor this if I mail it to DragonCon?
I'd love to watch you try.
I'm going
to
book myself a $65 room at the Omni this year. This is happening.
You go get him, Kevin. Well,
that's what I brought you, Cornflake, for 1989. We're going to DragonCon.
Are you able to pay by check or money order?
A money order, yeah.
COD.
COD, yeah. How does that work? They're going to have to pay cash when they get my order form? This is getting very weird. Because we are going to DragonCon in a couple of weeks. So, as I said, I am getting ready for DragonCon, not DragonCon 89, DragonCon, what year is this? This would be 2023.
It's one of the 20-somethings.
I will be there, and I'm preparing for it right now. I'll be doing a bunch of stuff there, various panels and presentations and shows and weird things, the details of which will be coming soon. I can tease a little bit, though. I'll tell you, I'm working on something involving the Twilight Zone, working on some stuff involving the Super Friends, the Teen Titans, Wonder Woman. I got some Wonder Woman stuff going. I got a Stargirl thing happening. A lot of good stuff. For you, Cornflake, here's a tease for you. ALF.
You're working on something ALF-related?
I am not going to share any details quite yet, but yes, ALF is very much involved this year.
Oh, wow.
We're taking it back to the late 80s, 1989 style. We're doing ALF.
Like the sound of that.
Yes. So, yeah, we will have details very soon.
Sounds like people have just enough time to hide their cats.
There'll be no cats left in Atlanta, but that's DragonCon 2023 and 1989. Either way, see you there. But Cornflake, that's it. We did it. That was the 80s.
I can't believe the 80s are over again.
Well, it's going to happen again 90 weeks from now when we reach episode 680. But until then, let's just get out of here.
Good plan. Flopcast.net is our website. We're at facebook.com/flopcast. We're on Mastodon at universidon.com/@flopcast. And we're on Instagram, the_flopcast. Our request to you is to head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and or a review. We'd love to hear what you think about the show. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Oh, Sponge Awareness was so close to landing that Doritos commercial back in 89. Then, of course, Leno got it. We were stuck promoting Bugles for the next 6 years. And, those are stupid. So
it's just not the same.
Yeah. Nobody likes a bugle. Cornflake, thanks for getting through the 80s. And more goofy stuff next time. Meanwhile, please be safe, be kind, be silly. And we'll see you next week.
Peace and bugles.
It was the year of fire.
The year of destruction.
The year we took back what was ours.
It was the year of rebirth.
The year of great sadness.
The year of pain. And the year of joy.
It was a new age.
It was the end of history.
It was the year everything changed.
The year is 2261.
The place, Babylon 5. The podcast is the Epsilon 3.
Right here on the ESO Network.
Cornflake, it's the secret after show. Could you please hit me with a little more bat talk?
You want to guess how many known species of bats there are across the world?
I happen to know this. It's just three.
Three? Well, if you know them so well, can you name them?
There's Extra Crispy. There's Cool Ranch. And there's from Temple of Doom, the giant vampire bat.
I'm going to go ahead and say you're right.
Thank you.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.